You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC. I'm Julie Burstein, in for Leonard Lopate on this gray Thursday afternoon. Tamima Anam's debut novel, A Golden Age, is set during Bangladesh's war for independence from Pakistan in 1971. Its heroine is Rehana Haque, a widow whose intense love for her son and daughter gradually draws her deeper into a violent conflict. Tamima Anam was born in Bangladesh, grew up in France and the U.S., and now lives in London. Her new book is published by HarperCollins, and I'm pleased that it brings Tamima Anam to the Leonard Lopate Show today. Welcome.
Hello. It's wonderful to be here, Julie. Thank you.
Did you grow up hearing stories about the war from your own family?
I did, absolutely. You know, as you said, I grew up outside of Bangladesh, so one of the main ways that my parents helped me to connect with Bangladesh was to talk to me about the war. They had both been involved in the war, so had all of their friends, their entire generation, and they really kept me interested in Bangladesh by telling me these amazing war stories. So it's really been a part of my childhood.
How old were they when the war began?
They were sort of in their late teens and early 20s. Yeah, so actually a lot of the stories are mixed up with, you know, nostalgia about their own youth, really.
It must be complicated to have nostalgia for a youth that took place during such a terrible conflict.
That's absolutely right. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I went to Bangladesh and I interviewed a lot of people who had survived the war when I started thinking about this book. And I was astonished at how woven in with these stories of tragedies, people who had lost loved ones, who had been through, seen terrible atrocities, really looked back on this time with nostalgia, because it was a moment of hope. It was a moment of possibility. They were dreaming of a new country. They imagined it would be this perfect sort of world, this utopia, and everything was fresh. And of course, we know that much has happened in Bangladesh in the last 37 years to dash those hopes. But at that moment, you know, all things seemed possible.
For listeners who may not know much about the conflict, can you just give us a quick history of what happened in 1971?
Sure. Well, actually, it goes back to when the British left India, and they left behind a very strange country called Pakistan, which was on two sides of India, West Pakistan and East Pakistan, which were divided by thousands of miles of India. And these two wings of the country were ostensibly brought together by the fact that they were Muslim populations. But they were ethnically, culturally, linguistically distinct, and they had nothing in common. And this, you know, religious commonality proved to be not enough to sustain a nation. And in 1971, the Eastern Wing broke away from the Western Wing. And that's how the war came about, and that's how Bangladesh was born.
One of the things you do in this book is beautifully evoke what daily life is like, how this person shops for food and what kinds of things she loves preparing for her children and what they love and how they ride into town. And I think that was one of the most powerful things for me, was that world turned upside down by war.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I first thought about writing the book, I thought I'll write a big epic novel with battle scenes and political rallies and all those kinds of muscular topics that you think of when you think of a war novel. But actually, I turned out to be much more interested in the, as you were saying, the everyday lives and how ordinary people were plunged into this very extraordinary circumstance, how they survived, what their daily lives were like. And for Rehana, her world is very small. She's concerned with her children. She's concerned with the household. And of course, this much larger political, historical moment comes into her life and starts to direct the course of her life.
She allows her children, her son, to hide weapons in her backyard, which I can imagine would be a terrifically dangerous thing to do in the middle of a war like this. And I read that this is part of your own family's history.
That's true, absolutely. The character of Rehana is loosely based on the life of my maternal grandmother, who was also widowed at a young age, and she was left to care for her children. And she was the most sort of unlikely person to get caught up in this war. And I thought about a kind of heroine who's a sort of reluctant revolutionary. And my grandmother allowed her children to make her home a center for the resistance in the city. And she hid freedom fighters. She harbored them. They hid their weapons in under her rose bushes. So these things are all taken from real life.
When you wanted to write this story, was your family concerned about you telling a story that might have pieces of their own history in it?
I think there was some of that, and I made sure to show, especially my mother and father, bits of it as I was writing it. But I think in the end, they felt that it was enough of their story that they could kind of own it and say, look, this is a story of our generation, of our nation. And some people, of course, go back and try to recognize themselves. I've had people in Bangladesh say to me, oh, is that me? And I have to say, no, it's a work of fiction. Of course, it's based on a lot of research that I did and all these stories that I heard. But I think it's difficult for people to remove themselves from it because this story is so close to their hearts.
What was it like for you, after having heard all of these stories as a child, to go back and actually do research and I would guess record stories of people who had lived through that time, and some of them gone through very difficult, traumatic things?
Well, it was a very eye-opening experience, especially because when I did the research, I traveled outside of the city and I met people from all different walks of life, and my notions of to what extent different people had participated in the war, these notions were completely reversed. I really found that it was a people's movement. People, you know, even like farmers and rural women felt that they were authoring this nation. It wasn't just the political elites. There were some women who told me stories of hiding weapons under their burqas and carrying them to the soldiers. And, you know, there were sacrifices made on many, many levels. So for me, it was a way for me to reconnect with Bangladesh, to reconnect with that moment, and also to get, to really reverse a lot of my stereotypes of what a kind of poor rural woman's life must have been like in the 70s. And so this was really a kind of inspirational set of, interviews that I did.
In reading about Rehana and her children, she has two children. She has a son, who's the eldest, and she has a daughter. And you evoke very beautifully a mother's ambivalence may not be the right word, but the fact that this mother has two different loves for these two different children, and
that's
true. Her son is easy to love and her daughter is not.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was thinking more globally about, you know, mothers' relationships with their daughters as opposed to their sons. But also, I think in South Asian cultures, women have a tendency to have these very loving, adoring relationships with their sons and slightly more difficult relationships with their daughters. And I wanted to explore that. And Rehana kind of fights this. And at one point in the story, her friends say to her, well, you've always been much more forgiving of your son. And this is a kind of turning point for her where she tries to reconnect with her daughter.
There are also very powerful scenes where her daughter, she must send her daughter away to Calcutta, and then she must leave also because she's, I can't remember if in the story whether she's found out or it's just too dangerous for her to remain there. And there are powerful scenes in a camp for refugees. Was that something that you also heard about, the stories from people who had fled?
Absolutely. I did a lot of research about that. There's a scene in the book where there are these refugees hiding in these giant sewer pipes, and there's a very poignant set of photographs. That's actually true, because there were so many refugees, 10 million refugees from Bangladesh fled across the border to India, and it's much to India's credit.
Did you say 10 million?
10 million, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you just can't imagine the scale. Much to India's credit, the government and the actual people who were in Bengal who really took it on to take these refugees into their homes and into these camps, there was nowhere for them to live. And one of these places was a giant field with these unused sewer pipes where these people hid out. So, yes, I talked to people who had been in the refugee camps, who worked as doctors in the camps, and that's where, you know, some of these stories came from.
I'm speaking with Tamima Anam. Her new book, a novel, is called A Golden Age, and it's from HarperCollins. Now, you were trained, you got your PhD. Why did you decide to do this as fiction rather than as a work of history?
That's a really good question, Julie. I think it was because I went to Bangladesh and I met all of these war survivors, and their stories really moved me. And it wasn't about kind of coming to a conclusion about what this war meant or how we should move forward as a nation or kind of having a historical record. I wanted to write a story that would touch people's hearts, that would, if it did its job, would convey something of what it might have been like to have lived through that war. And I really believe that the only way I could do that was through fiction. There's something alchemical about fiction that no other genre can really do that. So that's why I chose fiction.
I was reading your book at the same time as my 12-year-old son and I have been reading 1776 about the American Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
And thinking a lot about how in this country we are so removed from that war, from that uprising, from the moment when people felt, as you talked about the farmers in Bangladesh, where people here felt that same urgency to make change, and where people were dying in Boston and in Philadelphia and in our cities. You lived in Boston. Did you find when you were in Cambridge, probably, did you find when you were there, you felt echoes of the American Revolution, or has it been pushed, you know, it really is in the periphery now?
Well, in Boston, you can still go on the Freedom Trail. And I think that there was an exercise that some of my students did when I was teaching. You know, I was a teaching assistant at Harvard, where they would go on the Freedom Trail and kind of record what that kind of commemoration was like. And it's similar to a lot of other, you know, war commemorations where people, these kinds of physical objects are there to remind us of that time. And Boston, of course, is a very historic city. And in Bangladesh, we have the Liberation War Museum, which is also like an archive of what happened in the war. Although in Bangladesh, because it was only 37 years ago, or maybe because we haven't really had a kind of a truth commission or a national reckoning, these issues are still very much alive in people's hearts. People talk about the war as though it just happened yesterday. It's really not in the past for them, which is why they were so eager to talk to me when I was doing research for this book. They just can't really let go for whatever reason, whether it's because it was the kind of greatest moment and they're feeling like maybe the country didn't live up to their expectations. So this is very much still a live issue in Bangladesh.
You chose to write this book in English. Do you feel part of your mission is to bring this time in this country to people here and in English-speaking countries so that we understand what's happened?
Absolutely. I did want the story to reach a slightly wider audience, although I have to say, whenever I go back to Bangladesh, people say, why didn't you write this book in Bengali? It's not real unless you do that, but luckily it's being translated. Yes, I did want it to reach a wider audience, both a Western audience and a lot of immigrants who, you know, grew up in this country, may not really read Bengali, who haven't really heard the stories, weren't as privileged to hear the stories as I was about their homeland. So, you know, it's hopefully going to reach that audience as well.
In the book, we have just a minute left, but in the book, Rehana not only allows the rebels to come and stay in her house and hide their weapons, she cares for a general who's been gravely wounded but who survives, and there develops a love between these two people. Is that something that you think might have actually happened?
Yes, absolutely. It's not just that I wanted to put some tenderness in this book that's set in a war, which I did, but also people, it was a moment when a lot of these barriers between men and women had to break down because they were under these very pressurized kinds of extraordinary situations. And I do think that people experienced their relationships differently, that they fell in love. They didn't have as many arranged marriages because all of these rules kind of broke down. They were suspended. So I like to think it's not just my romantic imagination, but that this actually may have happened.
And that women also were able to take on a very different role because of the struggle.
Yes, absolutely. Maya is driving a truck, and
her mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's exactly the daughter. Her mother is really astonished. But then this is what women had to do. And I think of that bridge in London, where I now live, that's built entirely by women because in World War II, none of the men were around to be the builders and the engineers. And similarly in Bangladesh, a lot of roles that women wouldn't ordinarily play, like carrying arms to the soldiers, this was happening during the war.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your book today. Tamima Anam is the author of the book A Golden Age. It's from HarperCollins. And she also will be speaking tonight at 7 p.m. That's at the McNally Robinson Bookstore at 52 Prince Street between Lafayette and Mulberry Streets. And Tamima Anam, I loved your book.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Up next on Underreported, the powerful antimicrobial and sunscreen properties of hippo sweat, and what scientists hope to learn by studying it and had to do to get some of it. This is WNYC.